Hello, everyone. This is Make CCS Disk, a strategy for GPL compliance. My name is Robert Call. I'm the lead developer of the LibreCMC project. Has anyone heard of LibreCMC before? Okay, cool. So I'll get to that in a little bit. I also have been a huge supporter of free software and free culture works. In 2011, I did a campaigns manager internship at the Free Software Foundation, and wherever possible, I try to use free software license under free culture license, if you will. The views in this talk are mine and mine alone. They don't reflect the LibreCMC project, any of my employers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Also, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not trying to give legal advice. And I'm not your lawyer. In terms of licensing, it's a very complex area. I'm mostly just a developer. I'm not really a legal person, so I'm by no means an expert. And what I lay out in this talk here is mostly just a strategy to try to get companies to be compliant with free software licenses. Also, this is the first time that I've given this talk, so it's a little rough around the edges. I mostly worked on the demo that I'll show near the end, so here we go. So everyone here knows what free software is, right? Okay, so I can skip over when I talk about free software, I'm talking about the official free software definition, the four essential freedoms, which I botched that and I should have fixed that, but okay. So the main scope of this talk is the embedded world. So this can be routers or any other small devices that you might have that may possibly be running a piece of free software or even a full Linux kernel or a smaller version of the Linux kernel, like projects like UC Linux and other things, which are generally licensed under a free software license. But a lot of times there's issues here. So does anyone know what this is? Okay. So back in 2004, Mattel decided to come out with this video player contraption thing. And the exciting thing about this is it actually runs UC Linux. So this is my first dive into the embedded world. Was finding one of these for like $10 at a flea market. Someone had a whole box of them. They were a complete failure because they used these proprietary video cartridges. But the awesome thing here was you could actually get, it wasn't flashable or updatable, you could still get a serial console on it and play around with it. There's a few hacks and things, but the problem here is this device, the manufacturer violated the GPL in various ways. One of them was they didn't include any written offer for source in it. Nowhere in the user manual or the original packaging didn't indicate that there was any piece of free software or software license in the GPL, which I'll. It also the software wasn't available anywhere. I think someone managed to actually get the software out of them, but it took a bunch of work. And what they've released wasn't the complete corresponding source code. So it left out. So the bootloader didn't have any licensing information, so there's no copyright to indicate what it was licensed under. In the root of the tarball, there was no copying file. The only indication of the licenses used were the ones attached to UC Linux in that tarball. And the directions, of course, wouldn't necessarily work unless you tried to guess which toolchain you needed to compile it, which is a huge problem. So as I'm sure we're all aware, free software is everywhere. I mean, everyone in this room most likely has a cell phone, right? I'm sure. It's everywhere. It's in controllers. A lot of metro stations might use it in terminals and things. So it's generally everywhere. And a lot of these smart devices that you buy off the shelf might most likely is running some sort of free software, but most people would never know that. Generally, it's not indicated anywhere that it's running any type of free software. There's no written offer for sources, which is sadly the most popular the written offer for sources seems to be the most popular way that they go about distributing the software, but generally they don't follow up with it, or what they distribute is not really that. So yeah, I've already covered, sorry about that. So the problems, yeah, so I would say the embedded world is one of the larger bodies of GPL violations. I mean, I said largest before, but I would say it's the larger body of violations that come up. I'd say JavaScript is probably becoming more of an issue, but I won't get into that. So I already covered the missing components. So a lot of times, every OEM or vendor who distributes a product generally will have their own internal fork of U-Boot that will only work for that particular device. And a lot of times they omit this from their source release. So they'll include the sources for the kernel and maybe BusyBox and a few other components here and there, but they will not actually include the U-Boot sources, which is quite critical because in a lot of cases, it's licensed in the GPLv2, so that's a problem. So the project that I work on is called the LibreCMC project, which is an embedded GNU Linux distribution for routers and other types of embedded devices. And it's fully free software, meaning that we don't include any non-free components or binary blobs in the distribution. It's a fork of OpenWRT. Again, we just remove all the non-components in OpenWRT, but we also do some fixes here and there as well. So both, of course, use Buildroot. OpenWRT is a heavily forked and kind of an older version of Buildroot, but Buildroot is just a build system, which I'll try to get to later. The other thing with the project is we try to set certain terms when we work with OEMs about certain requirements that we would like, we try to encourage OEMs to include the complete corresponding sources with the device when they ship it, because of the fact that it would relieve them of needing to keep the sources around for up to 3 years from the sale of that device. Not to mention, you create a possible violation issue when if the person decides to resell that device. So with this, if you go to resell the device, you could at least include the source disk with it, and should be okay unless you update the software. So some of the things that we want to try to correct, I'll get to. Hopefully, this will make sense in a minute. One of the things that, again, we want to try to solve is there's almost every OEM has their own version of U-Boot. So one of the things that we want to try to do is consolidate all of those versions of U-Boot for all the targets that we actually support, so that it will, essentially be part of what we maintain with of LibreCMC. One of the problems that we've set out to solve is the fact that compliance is a huge problem, and there's a lot of gotchas here and there, and a lot of the the systems that these OEMs are using, they generally have vague instructions for compliance if they even mention anything about compliance in the first place and what your obligations are. So what I set out to do with this talk and proof of concept that I'll be showing in a few minutes is the project itself should actually try to help mitigate some of those issues and create an example an example that an OEM could use to be compliant with their obligations. Make CCS disk is not necessarily a tool. It's more or less just make files that are integrated into our version of Buildroot, or which is a fork and a fork of Buildroot. But the idea is that it will automatically generate And after you, well, so after you build the desired image that you want, what you can do is run make CCS disk. And what it will do is it will it'll create a clean source tree. So it'll recheck. There's several different ways I'm going to work out to do this. The cleaner way would be to recheck out all of the. So what we do right now, it's just a really loose demo. But we check out the source tree. In it, we put in our download directory, which includes all the source tarballs that we downloaded, and then it packages up. There's also some documentation templates. So what it will do is it will replace the target that we're building for, or the router that we'd be building for. Possibly OEM information is what we're going to allow in it. And the idea is to have other templates that would come together for target-specific documentation. So this is done on the fly. So then that way, we don't have to worry about documentation and things. So this whole thing will, and then it, of course, generates the new ISO image with what I just said, all packaged up in a nice way that you could actually burn the disk and it'd be ready for distribution with the product. I'm going to skip over the other stuff. I'm going to try to do the demo real quick, if that's okay. I have like 5 minutes, right?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. Oh. Well, hopefully I can do it. Okay, hopefully it works. Oh, man. Hold this. The laptop's not powerful enough to build it right in the time that we have. So I have some pre-built images here. I'm going to make target. Oh, I can't see. CCS disk. Maybe. Okay, that looks promising. I'm sorry. No. Okay. All right. Of course, it doesn't work. I know like CCS disk would work. It is rough around the edges. And I can also show a demo after the fact when we have more time. Okay, maybe we don't have enough time for this. Is there any questions while this is going exactly? Any questions? Comments? Okay, that's a good thing. It didn't output any errors. Okay, if we go and, where is it? I can't mount that right now. Where is it? Okay. Where is it? There should be an ISO image. There we go. So if I go and I open that up, there's a README. The text is not final yet, but there'll be areas, which I'll show you in a second, where it shows where certain things, like this right here, we had a string. The idea is we'd have a bunch of documentation templates for different things, so that's automatically generated. And then this source tarball is everything that we needed to build for this target. And the target, I think, is the GLAR300M, I believe we just built for. I don't have enough screen to read that. Okay. But I think you get the point. So how many? 3 minutes. Okay, so if I can hold this for a second. Yes. Okay, so. All right. So if we go to target CCS disk files, we'd have other templates. This is just a roof. So as you see here, this is just a basic thing where it will go and it will replace certain things. Like we'd have the vendor, the target, and other things would be all automated. But I'm hoping that this, if there's more interest, the idea is this. Having these tools will make it easier for OEMs to be compliant. It'll provide a pristine example or close to pristine example. And the fact that it'll save so much time. This saves me probably anywhere from 30 minutes to 4 hours, depending on if I have to rewrite all the documentation and everything to, you know, technically be compliant. So is there any questions? Okay.
So why didn't you use Yocto? Or I saw you had a Yocto, yes. Which I assume you can use that to generate the exact same thing. And
so they don't unless there's someone who is working on like the recipes for that. It doesn't automatically generate a tarball that would have everything that would allow you to be compliant. So it doesn't generate documentation. And it does not include all of, it doesn't package everything up. The Yocto, the documentation that they have just says that you pretty much need to tar up a specific directory, and their focus is only on distributing only the GTPL parts, not the necessarily the whole thing. So a lot of companies seem to want to just leave out any of the, they only care about the obligations of the copyleft licenses. They don't care necessarily about including the lax licensed programs. Whereas ideally, I would like everything to be included that was used. And a lot of times, the other problem is in the documentation, they say that you don't need to include the toolchain stuff and the sources for that. But the problem with that is a lot of embedded components require a specific toolchain. So if you don't have that specific toolchain, you can't build it. And the idea behind this whole thing is that all these types of tools, so BuildRoot, you know, Yocto and Open Embedded, and others should definitely be having this as part of their, they should definitely care about compliance, because a lot of companies just do the bare minimum when in some cases that's not always enough.
I think they do, but I'll talk to you all.
I do, okay. Oh, sorry about that. Okay.
When was the last time you bought a router and you came with a CD? They don't ship CDs with routers anymore.
There is one. Several OEMs that are shipping CDs with their routers. One of them is, I think, Penguin. He's in the audience. Every router that they have shipped with LibreCMC has included a CCS disk. It just wasn't automated before.
Do you think this is something that the companies can integrate in their build system so that they keep verifying that they are able to produce the complete corresponding code within their integration system?
It's going to all depend on what build system they're using and how their build system is laid out to accommodate that. It could be done, but the point is I haven't seen enough doing it. I might be wrong. Like you said, there are things, but I've tried to do my due diligence before this. But I would like to see more companies going above and beyond just their minimum obligations, because it would be so much easier, and the fact that this saves so much time and headache.
I was just going to say that I work for a company that does that. We every night we check our source release builds. that's just quite difficult if you're building Java, because half the time Java doesn't build itself. But you know, it can be done. It just requires work.